Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliet Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, hi.
Hi, Juliet. How are you?
I'm well. How are you going?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Good. We're talking today about inputs versus outcomes.
Oh, yeah. Big topic at the moment, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. And yeah. I think, I mean, I've seen it for years. I remember years ago a colleague saying to me he worked at a bank. He was really uncomfortable because one of his employees wanted to work from home a couple of days a week. And his discomfort was because he couldn't see her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even then, you know, that was the thing. But now with so much virtual working, it's really coming to the fore, this one, I think.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing, it's kind of funny, I shouldn't laugh, but the businesses and the business owners that just can't quite get their head around it, they're freaking out, they're panicking because they can't see their people and they therefore think that they're not doing anything. And yeah. The ones that have really got their head around the fact that actually it's not about how much time we spend sitting behind a desk that matters, but what we get achieved in a day that matters. And it's a huge mental shift for some business owners particularly, I think largely because they grew their careers working in a world where you were judged by the number of hours you sat behind a desk.
Totally. I think that's exactly right. And if you have come from that environment, that's what you understand, this idea of letting that go and trusting that people have the best intent and want to do a good job is a difficult transition to make, I think, for many.
And I think it's a difficult transition even for us as business owners. I mean, if I think back to when I first started my business, I judged my own success in the day by how many hours I sat behind the desk. I mean, it was just so intrinsic to how I'd grown up literally working that I put my kids in daycare at 10 weeks old because I thought I had to be sitting behind the desk to be effective and productive. And it took me a long time to figure out, actually, I'm not particularly productive after a certain number of hours in the day because there's this law of diminishing returns.
Yes. But
we've judged ourselves by that standard, particularly if you come from a corporate background, I think, where it's an expectation. So it's kind of natural that we've put that onto our teams to an extent.
Well, I think certainly what I experienced when I was in the corporate world was it's almost a badge of honour to have worked a million hours, you know, and to be seen at your desk at 9 o'clock at night or to be the first one there in the morning when people are coming in. Is that badge of honour? Is that look how hard I am working?
Absolutely. And we were actually, you and I were talking to a mutual friend and colleague just a few weeks ago, and she was sharing her corporate journey story. And she was sharing that it was not unusual for her to still be in the office at, I think she said, like 2, 3 a.m. and then back again at, you know, 7 or 8 the next morning to go again. And it's ludicrous to think that that is a good way to work.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I think how do we get people to shift is really the question, isn't it? Because I think the reality is that the virtual teams and hybrid teams are with us to stay, you know, in whatever capacity that is. People now have found they can work from home, they can be really productive from home, and they often are enjoying that they can have a rhythm at home that's not possible at work.
Yeah.
So how do you think people should be sort of what can we do to help them make that shift, I guess, is really the question, isn't it?
I think clarity is your best friend when it comes to this. And what I mean by that is getting really clear about what success looks like for every position in your business. And I think despite thinking we know what our team are doing and what success looks like, I think quite often we're not particularly clear. We have a receptionist because we think we should, not because it's necessarily a role we need. Yeah. And there's lots of, I guess, similar stories where you think that the role is a full-time role, but you've never really looked at what success looks like for that role. And I think the first step is to get clear about what success looks like in that role. What is achievable? What should be achieved? And ultimately, having really excellent KPIs, obviously, but you can't get there until you've first got clarity about, what's the objective of this role? Because yes. not all roles are going to be so clearly defined that you can say they're going to be able to spit out 10 gidgets in an hour, or, you know, it's not that black and white for every position, but you do have to be clear about what the core objectives of that role are, and, you know, roughly what's involved in making that happen in terms of not only time, but also efficiencies and productivities.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think there's a real opportunity too, isn't there, to have conversations about this. You know, and this is how you build that trust, which is going to be fundamental to making this work, is having that conversation even about this is what I think your role involves and this is what I see as success in this role in the next 12 months. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, and asking them, just yes. ask your team, because yeah. no one wants to go to work. If you've got an engaged team, and that's what we're all striving for, and you'll know yeah. that they're engaged, they don't want to go to work and be lazy or be unproductive because it's demotivating. So if totally. You've got a good yeah. team, they will tell you what they're striving to achieve or what they think is achievable from an objective perspective. So yeah. definitely involve them in the discussion. And actually the example I think of is the Perpetual Guardian example in New Zealand, when they switched to this whole 4-day work week model. Mm. The first thing they did is went to the teams, went and 200 odd people, and said, what are your, you know, how do we measure your productivity in your role? They asked the team for the input.
Well, and I think then they own it too, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I think when they have a say in designing it, they own it. And that's so much more powerful. And I think it should build trust both ways, because as a leader, if your people have said to you, this is what I think is, you know, the way my role should be measured, this is what success in my role looks like, then that should give you confidence that the person is owning the role and is owning their success in the role.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I think, you know, we talk about in positive psychology being, oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just going to say, because if they're not tied into that, there's no drive for them to do it. And if it's off kilter, you'll know. Like if what they're telling you is not in line with expectations, just dig a little deeper, get curious, explore further. You know, you don't have to take, sometimes employees just aren't comfortable with having these conversations, so they either go wildly ambitious or go the other way to protect themselves and be a little bit safe. Yeah. But it's not necessarily because they're yes. lowballing their skills. Yeah. It's because they're not used to having these conversations so, you know, vulnerably, I guess.
I think that's true. And I think this whole, I was just saying before, this whole, you know, wanting to be part of something bigger is a real driver and a motivator for so many people. And when we give them that opportunity, I think one of the things I have seen in the last 18 months, particularly here in Melbourne, because we've been locked down for so long, is that leaders have stopped having that conversation about where are we heading? Mm-hmm. And there's this sense of being bunkered down and we'll just do your job and we'll just get through this. Mm-hmm. And the reality is this is going to be around for a while longer, and we need to actually get that business as usual happening, which would normally be about getting everyone together and saying, this is where we're heading, you know, and this is the goals and this is what we need to achieve, and then starting to translate that down into people's roles. And what I'm seeing is with some teams, that's getting lost because the leader's saying, well, we're not all in the same space, so we're just going to plow on and we'll talk about our goals and things later when we can get together.
That's really interesting, because the other thing I was just thinking was, in terms of this, what does success look like? The key to that is tying it back to your organization's vision, mission, goals, objectives, totally. Whatever they are. But if you're yes. not articulating those to your team,
yes,
that's a problem, because we all know that in, you know, for any team to be highly successful, but particularly in times where we're dealing with change and difficulty and uncertainty, having a future vision, having a future direction and being future focused towards that is critical to, you know, get everyone moving forward. So if we've stopped communicating that, that's a real problem. So that has to happen.
I think so, because then what do they tether to? You know, what are they aiming for? And what you see, and what I have seen in a couple of these teams, is that people are then just doing their own thing and they're just focused on their thing. And they might come together as a team once a week, or, you know, They might work with a few others in the team because that's what they need to do to get the job done. Mm. But the sense of team is getting lost. Mm. You know, when you know we talk about culture and the behaviours we want that support our values, what I've seen is some of that has also fallen away. And because the leaders are not focused on sort of keeping everybody cohesive and together and heading in a single direction, It's starting to slide a bit. You know, it's a bit, looks like something you've left on the bench overnight. It's just gone, look.
Yeah, that's, and it's interesting because if you have that environment, what you're going to have is groups of high performing, intense, intelligent individuals floating around, not going anywhere together, and possibly even worse, going in different directions.
Yeah. Well, and I think also if you're not linking them to something, if they're not feeling a sense of achievement, good operators will go. You know, good people will just go and find something that motivates them more.
So
because it is unmotivating. And, you know, you then add into that homeschooling and the pressures of lockdowns that are everywhere at the moment and some of the difficulties of, you know, the lack of communication across virtual and hybrid teams. You add all that in and a good performer is going to start saying, is there somewhere better I could be?
Yeah. And this is where being really clear is important as well. Like you've just touched on, if you've got staff that are juggling homeschooling or care responsibilities or just the general, you know, stress that goes with these kind of lockdowns, if you're unclear about what achievement looks like in that role, it's going to be really hard because they're not going to be at their desk necessarily 8 to 4, 9 to 5, if they're also trying to homeschool, particularly a young primary school child. Yet if they are clear on what their objectives are, they might very well achieve those objectives between 3 and 8 p.m. in the evening when they've got the time to focus, they've got the capacity, probably got more support. But without that clarity, you're assuming they're spending their days claiming their work pay and homeschooling their children. And I've seen a lot of businesses actually really interestingly suggest that if you're homeschooling because you're forced to, you aren't able to work, and they're actually preventing their employees from working. And I think it's insane and, you know, one of the worst engagement strategies I've ever heard, because what message does that send? That sends a message that firstly, I'm non-productive when I am working different hours to what I might usually be if I was in the office. Mm. We know that people work better at different times of day due to their, you know, just their body clock and their general cycle of work. If you've got someone that performs amazingly 8 till 11 a.m. but lags off after that, why not tap into that whilst you've got the opportunity?
Mm. Look, I agree. And as long as they're able to, you know, come to the critical meetings they need to be at or whatever, I totally agree with you, because, and this is why focusing on outcomes is so much more important than inputs. This idea that someone should just, if they're working at home, sit at their desk in the same way they would in an office just doesn't make any sense. And as you say, the homeschooling issue has become so stressful for so many. And I agree with you. I've seen, was there a council recently?
Yes.
That said their staff couldn't homeschool. You know, and you just think, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And how is that in any way motivating or building trust with anybody? Because there's no empathy there. There's no help.
No, and you wonder why those types of organisations have a bad rap as being very inefficient and unproductive. It's because they've got a culture of mistrust fundamentally. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. So if we know we need clarity.
And I think,
what do you think the next steps we need to take are in order to understand and switch our thinking in relation to what productivity and outputs look like versus input? What else do we as business owners need to be focused on?
Well, look, I always come back to communication. Mm-hmm. Love a bit of communication.
Yep.
And I think even more so, I think there needs to be a conversation going on. So once you have that clarity around what's expected, the conversation is about how are you going, you know, and what support do you need and how realistic is this and how are you coping? Is this working, in fact? I know the team I was working with last year was quite a big team, and they had a monthly survey, you know, just an anonymous 3-4 questions. How are you going? You know, are you able to do your work? Are there things we could do better? That sort of stuff. which gave everybody a chance to vent a little bit, because I think that there has to be a conversation about how is this working for you. And, you know, if people tell you that the best time for them is 6 till 9 a.m. and then they do homeschooling and then they work again from 3 until 8 or whatever, that shouldn't actually matter to you as the leader. You know, that's, and if that helps them get through all of this and do their job, then to me that makes sense. But I think there has to be more conversation around how we support them and, you know, how all of that is working, because none of this is going to be set in stone. No, you know, whilst we, yeah, that's exactly right. We set this direction and we know where we're heading, but the way each of our people is going to get there is probably going to flex through all of these lockdowns and opening up and lockdowns and, you know, all of the stuff that sits with that, let alone anything else that's happening with work.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think, I think clarity, communication, and I think the third thing I will throw in the mix that I think everyone needs to be doing is getting really strong KPIs in place for every position. And proper KPIs, not wishy-washy ones that no one can actually tell what they're meant to be doing. Really solid, measurable, specific KPIs, because what employees want to know from us is what's expected from them and how are they going against those expectations. And a KPI gives that gift all in one little bundle. So if you can be clear about what you need, where you're going, what success looks like, if you can communicate well with your team consistently, not a one-off communication, and you can have really solid KPIs that you can measure performance against and your team can measure their own performance against, then you no longer need to worry about time at all. Time becomes a non-issue. It becomes, we've got other ways to measure success and time's not one of them.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think then things, some of the things that we need to be focusing on are, you know, giving positive feedback to, you know, to sort of reinforce the things that are working well. And perhaps measuring KPIs in real time too, measuring, you know, if this is your KPI, what does that mean on a weekly or a monthly basis?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I think KPIs work best when they are, you know, very current. And even if you can set them quarterly, then with monthly milestones back, that works really well. Or if you can set them so that you know that each week that needs to be achieved or each month that needs to be achieved, that is the best type of KPI. Because a KPI that says broadly you've got to get this done in the next year, it's too open. We can be much more specific.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I don't think it's very motivating either.
No.
To have some 12-month thing when our lives at the moment are, yes, exactly, our lives require little wins at the moment. I think it's also really important to be clear about the culture that you're trying to maintain or create or redefine and what that means for how you want people to behave. I think that's a really big one, because we're in an environment where if your culture is about information as power, it's very easy for people to hoard information at the moment and not share because you're not all together. So I think there's a real issue around defining the behaviours that you want. And they could be really simple ones around engagement with the team and supporting one another and collaboration and those sorts of things.
Definitely.
But I think as a leader, we need to be watching that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would encourage leaders to also create KPIs of sorts around those behavioural and cultural aspects, not just around the specific operational results from a role. But I definitely, you know, when I'm working with a business, I will encourage them to have a range of KPIs that are common across all positions in that organization at every level that deal with these behavioral things that is expected of everyone. And there might be some little nuances between the leadership team in terms of how we expect them to show up with a particular value or behavioral expectation compared to some of the staff. But fundamentally, if, like you said, if knowledge is power is one of our key values, have a KPI around that. Have a KPI that says proactively share knowledge with your peers on a weekly basis, or something you can really measure that they are participating in that behavior and value.
Yeah, I agree. And we come back around there to clarity, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is the thing, is being really clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, totally. But I think it's easy to forget it in this sort of situation where we haven't necessarily chosen to go to virtual teams. It's just being forced upon everybody.
Yeah.
And it does take energy and effort to actually sit down and be really specific about how that works now for the team.
Yeah.
And how it works for individuals.
Definitely. And I think part of the problem is I think we saw this last year when we all went into crisis mode. This isn't crisis mode anymore. This is just life as we know
yes.
it now.
Yeah.
But half of the battle comes from us as the leader or the business owner not being clear in our own minds. Because, of course, we can never communicate it clearly with our team if we're not clear ourselves. And I think we just get so busy putting out the fires and doing what we need to do that we lose clarity ourselves. And until we can either pause and get that clarity or, you know, just spend some time really getting it clear for in our own mind what this change of direction might mean or what, you know, what success is looking like, then we're never going to get it right when it comes to communicating with our team. So if that means you need to take some time or take a pause or do some work on that, that would be a very valuable use of your time.
I agree. And even if that means just getting your managers together and, you know, defining all of that. I think also this is where celebration comes in too. You know, I talk about positive feedback, but I think also there's a real role for celebrating small wins in this environment too. You know, so celebrating when people are hitting KPIs, recognize that we have these goals and this is how we were measuring them and we've done it, so well done people, you know. And I think that's in this environment really motivating, and in a virtual team I think it sends a whole lot of really good messages about the fact that you're not measuring their time and, you know, how long they sit at the desk. You're measuring what they produce for you. And I think that's really important.
I agree. And there's going to be ways that you either bring the team together to celebrate, even if it's on Zoom, or you send them all something to their home address, or just find different ways to celebrate that, because they're not going to get that connection that they had being in the office when everyone is super excited to have achieved something. So find different ways to really honour that and to create space for that. And it can be, you know, get as creative as you like, but just find a way to do it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I totally agree. So top three things you'd recommend for people in terms of focusing on outcomes rather than inputs?
Clarity, communication, KPIs. I reckon that's
perfect.
Our top three.
I'm there with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to add feedback to it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, cool. Lovely. Thanks so much, Christy Lee. Lovely to talk.
Another great chat. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
See you then.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.